Well, hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Hyperion Adventures Podcast. I'm Tom. As always, I'm with my wonderful, intelligent, gorgeous, very hardworking Disney inner child loving wife and co-host, Michelle.
Well, thank you, honey. I can definitely say I tap into my inner child quite a bit in my life, but hello, everybody.
As everyone should at important times and not so important times. That's you should true. Be able to tap into your inner child, and Disney does that so well. And we are going to talk about that today, along with a ton, just a ton of Disney news came out this week.
It's crazy.
They just kept letting it fly this week, so much so that we're not going to get to everything because there was so much information that came out this week.
I know. So much came like minutes after the newsletter went out.
Of course it did.
So we'll probably cover some of the extra stuff in the newsletter this week.
Excellent. By the way, we are recording this episode on Sunday, March 24th, 2024. And that is exactly when it is dropping on your favorite pod catchers as well.
Happy Palm Sunday.
Happy Palm Sunday for all of those of you who celebrate. And thank you for joining us today. In the future, you can find us most everywhere you get podcasts. However, the very best place to find us is on our own website, HyperionAdventuresPodcast.com. Also, we are on social media. We are on Twitter at Hyperion Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. If you are on Facebook, come on over and join us for some good, positive Disney energy fun on our Hyperion Adventurers Facebook group. Also, we're on YouTube. If you want to find us there, we're at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. And if you ever want to contact us for any reason, please hit us up at our Gmail account, HyperionAdventuresPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, we love hearing from all of you. Any of those ways that we just mentioned, or as Tom just mentioned so yes. brilliantly.
All those ways. We just love connecting with you in so many ways. Michelle put out some great things on social media this week about this week's topic, and we were connecting with you in that regard. Right. Just having a lot of fun.
We got some nice hello emails.
Was nice. That was very nice. Speaking about some nice things from this week, you know, we are the Disney podcast of positivity, and so we like to focus on those moments, those wonderful moments, those high moments, those fantastic positive moments from the week that was. We do that and we call it my favorite thing from this week. And when we do this, we always start with Michelle because she's always my favorite thing from this week. You know, she's wonderful. You know, she's fantastic. You know, she's awesome. She does the best research. She has the best lists. She also has the best my favorite thing from this week. So, Michelle, what was your favorite thing from this week?
I think my favorite thing from this week is getting to connect with some friends. It was through a Zoom meeting, but it was a lot of fun getting together with Camille and Jonathan and, and Lorelei and having some fun chatting with them. I think we definitely took over the conversation, but it was fun.
Yes, we so took over the conversation. But it was they are getting set to go on their first Disney cruise, and they had questions for us about their first Disney cruise. And of course, you know us, as you hear every week, we like to talk. Boy, did we talk.
I know. That might have been their mistake. Yes. It's like winding up a doll. Yeah.
Especially about one of our favorite things in the world, Disney cruise. And we were happy to provide them with probably too much information. Exactly. But it was a good time connecting with them as well. We also connected with our favorite certified Disney travel planner, right? That's right. Nate, of course, this week, because we happened to book a few trips coming up in the very near future that we're very excited about as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Finally honing in on some plans that we wanted to do for 2025.
Yes, that was excellent and a lot of fun. And Nate, as always, was right on top of things and helped us out significantly. But probably my favorite thing from this week was that we celebrated our 19th anniversary this week.
That's right.
Yes, we did it very subtly, just kind of an at-home thing. Cooked a little dinner, just kind of snuggled up together, and it was nice.
It was very nice. It was, you made a delicious dinner for me that was super special. And it was, like you said, a nice relaxing time just to spend one-on-one time together.
Yeah, it was very low-key, just kind of hanging out at home, made some dinner. It was very nice. It's been a busy, you know, in some ways we nearly forgot our anniversary because we've been so busy this year. We're like, oh yeah, it's our anniversary. We need to do something for that. So that was good to get that in. We were actually planning more for next year's anniversary than we were for this anniversary. That's because it's big 20. And that's probably part of the reason why we were contacting Nate this week was for that.
Yeah. Like I said, it was just as every day is spending it with you is definitely special. I'm glad we did have an opportunity to celebrate the anniversary.
Yeah, like I said, it was very low key. It was barely a celebration. It was just it was dinner with maybe a nice bottle of wine, and that was about it.
Yeah,
it wasn't super exciting. Next year's much more exciting. Very looking forward to next year. Now on to this week's show. We have lots of stuff for you this week. And I mean, we have lots of stuff for you this week. I already told you, we're not going to get to everything, but we're going to get to as much as we can.
You probably don't even need to do teasers here.
Yeah, well, I'm going
to. Lots
of news. There's lots of news. Details were released about the Ultimate Disney Fan Event happening later this year. We'll go through all that. Disney Cruise Line completely surprised us with information about yet another new ship. I mean, we knew the ship was coming, but we didn't know we were going to get information this quickly about it. And it's getting ready to set sail, maybe even sooner than we originally expected.
Right.
So that's kind of cool as well. We received info about The Last of the Walls, when The Last of the Walls will be coming down at the center of Epcot. Woo-hoo. We've been very excited about that well. We hear that drones are coming to the Walt Disney World Resort. That's cool.
I think somebody on this podcast once said we should have a drone show at Walt Disney World.
It wasn't me. But I agree completely.
Actually, I think I really said it was at Disneyland.
Yeah. Either way, it's exciting and I can't wait to tell you more about that. And one more story, Anakin finally got the high ground.
Yeah.
We'll tell you about that as well. But that's later. Let's go ahead and get to our very inner childlike main topic of the week. So for this week's main topic, we were thinking about it. You know, Disney does a lot of things really, really well. We know how great they are. It's so many different things across their parks, their resorts, their films, their cruise line. So much great stuff. But maybe the thing that they do better than anything else, maybe better than anybody else, is bringing out that inner child in us. Right, Michelle?
Absolutely. Yeah, they not only give ways to do that, but they encourage us to get like that.
Yeah. So we thought this week, maybe we'll kind of explore a little bit of that. You know, what it is that you, when you channel your inner child, when you go into Disney parks, what makes it so special? What is special to us? What is special to you? And Michelle went through this and picked out some cool things, and I can't wait to hear how she's going to lead us through this topic. So, Michelle, don't apologize before we see. You know it's going to be great. She apologized before it even began, so you know this is going to be a fantastic topic, and I can't wait to hear all about it. So, Michelle, why don't you tell us all about channeling your inner child at Disney?
Okay, well, I think you introed it perfectly. You know, we all know that Disney is a great place for kids, that it really taps in on their creativity and their spirit of life. But that whole aspect transcends age, and it really allows us to do that. And I just thought, you know, why not take a look at kind of like the whys or hows, you know, not to be scientific about it, but just kind of what sets it apart, you know. But I felt like it really does require at least acknowledging Walt Disney as being the creator of these ideas. And I'm just going to share one quote with you all that he said. And I think it really captures this essence. It really talks about the films, but he said, "I do not make films primarily for children. I make them for the child in all of us." And so I thought that really shows how much he encapsulated and promoted this concept of let's make our experiences for the guests to be something that taps in on the child in all of us. So,
and I think that sometimes, you know, there's people that maybe don't get the Disney experience, that like, oh, why would you like this place that was built for children? Why do you like these movies that are made for children?
Right.
And I think, you know, while there are some are more based for children than others, and some attractions were based for children than others, I think, you know, the films, the experiences, the parks, they hit so far across the board and help, you know, bring that child out of you, like you've been talking about, for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I kind of looked at it and felt like there was kind of like three, whether you want to call them buckets or kind of the ways this happens. And the first one I considered is the fact that, you know, just nostalgia and childhood memories of, you know, experiencing Disney somehow. So like you said, whether it's in the parks or the resorts, film, or whatever. Now, when I was growing up, my family was not very financially set. In fact, I do remember a time when we'll say we were between homes. And even though we had moved to Orlando at some point in my life as a child, the idea of going to Walt Disney World seemed totally impossible to me. I knew we wouldn't have money for that. But incredibly, my father actually had a friend who worked at Walt Disney World as an electrician, and he actually gave tickets to my dad for us to go.
How nice.
Yeah. So we were going to be able to go to Disney World. Now, I'd been to, like, you know, county fairs, you know, different things like that. But the first time that I walked into the Magic Kingdom, I remember I was awestruck. And it's really funny how you can kind of like remember little details of our experiences when they're special. Like, I remember the sounds of the horns from the fairies, even though we took the monorail. I just remember the horns, and I still get that feeling when I hear the horns of, you know, a magical place. And then getting to the front and seeing that landscape where they have all the flowers making Mickey's face. And I remember hearing the train whistles. I mean, all of those sounds and sights, I just remember being so unique, so incredible, that it made such an impression on me. It was, you know, definitely a dream come true, but it's something that stayed with me for the rest of my life. I mean, loving Disney and how it makes me feel is something from that moment on has stayed with me. And so when I go back to the parks or when I go to a resort, and, you know, it's funny, like sometimes we'll stay at the Poly and we'll stay at a room and you can hear the fairies' horns blowing and everything. And I just, even just that spark transcends me back to that first time where I was just blown away by how exciting it was and how amazing it was. Now, I know everybody has a different first story of, or something, maybe not even the first time, but a special time, something that was out of the ordinary during a visit to the park, that they can still have those same emotions or same feels that you do, like when you're a kid. And like you mentioned, we did some posts in social media, and I love some of these responses. I want to share some of them with you. Like Tony, the Disney dad, who you can find him on a lot of different avenues, but on X, he's at
Twitter.
Disney_discuss.
Just so they know actually where it is, because they'll never figure out what X is.
But he said, seeing a character, whether it's at a meal, a meet and greet, or a parade, always brings out the 5-year-old in me, you know? Yeah, you can
totally get
that. Yeah, totally
get that. 100%.
Yes. And Spectro Magical, which you can find at PixieDusty89, said, freaking out and getting teary eyed when seeing the castle for the first time, or during the fireworks at the end of the day.
Oh, the happily ever after, any of the fireworks shows, but happily ever after, forget it. I'm a mess.
Right,
yes.
Yeah. Right. Scott chimed in on Facebook and he said, every time I pass under the Disneyland Railroad and enter Main Street USA, I get chills. Mm-hmm. It will always be special.
It's a transformative moment.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So, honey, what are some things that get you in that childlike mode when you're at having a Disney experience?
Well, I mean, let's just talk about this to begin with, is that, you know, when we were talking about the things Disney does so well to bring this all out of us, and you already led into the fact with nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is a multi-sensory experience with Disney and right. how they get you. You already talked about the sounds, the sights, you know, seeing the right. castle or whatever, you know, the smells, you know, mm-hmm. them, you know, with the popcorn right there. They set it up, you know, strategically right. on the bakery. We've seen the grate where they pipe a little bit of that bakery sweet smell out in the streets, so you get all of that. You know, the touch of, you know, hitting that pavement and trying not to trip over the tracks in the yeah. middle of Main Street USA. Right. And I mean, it's just, it's everywhere and it hits you so hard. I mean, and I still see the train station. I agree with you and with, mm-hmm. with Scott. Some of that point is that the train station is always that first thing that right. like, okay, you know, here we are. We're at Disney, we're at Magic Kingdom, we're at Disneyland. We are about to enter this special, special
right,
place.
Right.
Going down Main Street USA and seeing the castle is, you know, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, the diminutive Sleeping Beauty castle, which I grew up with, right? which I adore, or
charming.
the more, you know, stylish, larger Cinderella castle right. at Magic Kingdom. They both bring such wonderful memories and such. It does make me feel like a kid to see those, right. you know, so special. And then deciding which land to go into, the excitement of where are we going to go first?
Right.
What are we going to do first? It's that childlike sense of wonder of, you know, what's ahead for us?
Exactly.
You know, what are we going to go to first? Are we going to go to Adventureland and right. do the Jungle Cruise and laugh at all the jokes we've heard 100 million times?
That's true.
And yet they still are funny to us,
right.
you know? Or are we going to go to, you know, Frontierland and do the wildest ride in the West? You know, are yeah. we going to go to Tomorrowland and see a little glimpse of the future, or maybe Space Mountain or something? Or are we going to live all those wonderful movies, those animated movies in Fantasyland
yeah.
and be a part of experiencing that? It's all there laid out in front of you. And I'm just talking about Disneyland and Magic Kingdom. I'm not even talking about going to Epcot
right.
and all the special parts that are there. Or, you know, Disney California Adventure Park and, you know, experiencing like Cars Land or Avengers Campus or going to Disney's Hollywood Studios and, you know, the Tower of Terror, or when I'm sure we'll get into it, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge
yeah.
or, you know, or getting to Animal Kingdom Park and getting to see all these animals up close and experience in a different way of a transformative way of going into a park.
Right.
They all are special in their different ways and they all bring out the child in me in different aspects of me.
Right. For sure. And you can hear it in your voice just as you're, because I know as you're going through that, you're thinking about those places. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, you feel that special nostalgia when you're there, but even just thinking about it, yeah. you know, gets those feels going.
Yeah. 100%.
Now we know, going on to our next kind of aspect of this, we know kids, you know, live in an imaginary or creative world. I mean, that's, you know, they live stories. They're all about stories. And Disney experiences are all about storytelling. Every aspect of it just makes sure it supports that. You know, like Walt talked about, you know, it being like a film hiring filmmakers and you know, people who built sets to make everything feel like you're in the movies. It's that immersive environment. So they are designed to transport you to a magical world, a different world. Like you talked about walking down Main Street and not tripping over the tracks, you know, for the horse tracks and things like that. But the fact that you can walk down the middle of a street and feel safe, you know, but really the issue is it's a magical world. So, you know, you talk about the lands or the attractions, even the food, you know, like you said about the smells, but
yeah.
the food, how it is presented, how it looks, all supports that magical place that you're in.
And that's another of the senses that, you know, I was telling you about. I mean, we all have these, all these different memories. I mean, everybody remembers their first churro or their first Mickey pretzel, right, their first Mickey bar, whatever. It's another thing that brings you back to your childhood.
That's true. That's true. Now, as adults, you know, we get so focused on our daily lives, and I'm not saying drudgery, but just what happens day in and day out, that those opportunities to even think about the creativity of your mind in these imaginary worlds just tend to become lessened. And I think that's why when we do have that opportunity, it brings us back to that childhood feeling of like, yeah, I'm free to create a different story. I'm free to be fun about this, to wear Mickey ears because I'm part of this story now. You know, you feel that immersiveness. Now, I know the first time we went to Galaxy's Edge, and Star Wars, you know, means a lot to me, but I know for a fact it means a lot to you from your childhood seeing the movies. Tell us about that time that you first entered Batuu.
Well, that was something special, that's for sure. You know, I mean, look, since I was 8 years old and I saw A New Hope, you know, just titled Star Wars at that time in a theater, and was just, you know, just whisked away to these other worlds, these other planets, these other galaxies far, far away, was an incredible experience. And I always spent my life wanting to be a part of that, watching the movies as they developed, reading some of the books, reading some of the comics, all that stuff. Love Star Wars dearly. And then Star Tours came around, and I was like, ooh, we get to experience a little piece of being in one of these films, you know. And that's what, you know, Disney does so well, is making you a part. And even though Star Wars at that time was not one of their films or is not part of their franchise, they're not their IP, they still whisked you into being a part of that world and being a part of those films. It was that first glimpse. And then we heard about Galaxy's Edge coming around. Like, wow, this is going to be amazing. Can't wait for it to happen. And it's going to be both at Disneyland and Walt Disney World. We thought when we first heard it, it's like, okay, this is going to be a Walt Disney World. We'll go there. We'll check it out. Fine. They announced later it's going to be at Disneyland too. Not only that, it opened at Disneyland first.
Right.
You know, which was where we were closer to at the time, of course, when we lived in San Diego. We were able to get, you know, I think it was because we had pass holder. I don't know if it was pass holder, D23, DVC. One, for some reason, we were able to get preview weekend because they were having like, they were 4-hour windows for previews, kind of soft openings of the land during that time. And we were able to land the second day that they were doing previews, which was pretty darn exciting to us. And then so we did all this fun stuff. I remember that day, just such a special day of you know, we went and checked into the park, went over, we even had Lamplight Lounge brunch, you know, and it was like, it was just all this cool stuff building up to it. Got checked in, got our armbands, went over, got into the place where we could enter into the park. They had this, and then it was such a interesting way to get broken into it, because you would go like, I don't know, 100, 200 feet at a time, and then they would stop and you'd wait, you know. And
because it was super crowded. Yeah. It was a ton of people.
There were people already in there, and there were people that were in our 4-hour window as well with us. And then we would gradually get closer, and the anticipation kept building. We get closer. This was all, if you know Disneyland's Galaxy's Edge at all, we were entered through where it was Critter Country. So we were kind of entering in the backside of it, where the Resistance is, you know. So, you know, we would get closer, and suddenly, you know, the topography starts to change a little bit. You can see things a little different. The spires that you've seen being built for so long come that much closer. Gradually you get in and you finally see your first ships. There's an X-Wing. There's an A-Wing. Talk about excitement building. Even though Rise of the Resistance was still months away from opening, you could see that opening area of the gate where they have kind of that gung turret there and everything. Oh, and yeah, that it's like it's already, and you're starting to hear the sounds of the music and the ambiance of being on a different planet. Like you were truly already transformed to a different world, and you're just barely into it. And then finally we get to the point where they're like, okay, now it's your windows open and you can go in. and you walk in and it just develops so wonderfully into everything you've thought of. Like, I know this is a completely different planet than anything you've seen in Star Wars before, but it just felt like Star Wars, the architecture, the little touches throughout it. You know, it just felt like stepping into the marketplace, felt like any marketplace you would have seen on any planet in Star Wars. Going around that corner and seeing the Millennium Falcon for the first time is, I can't, I mean, it still amazes me to this day every time I see it, but I can't, you know, give it words as to how magnificent that is. Something that I've dreamed about since I was 8 years old and seeing that film for the first time, you know, and then actually getting to pilot the Millennium Falcon. I mean, I was an 8 year old kid again, you know, I was taking it all in, eating the food. We got into Oga's, being in a cantina for the first time. Say what you want about Oga's. The first time you go in there, it is something super special to kind of be in that cantina setting. You know, the seeing the stormtroopers walk along, you know, hearing the sounds. And it was kind of an overcast day that day. So, you know, it sounded like X-Wings or TIE Fighters were whizzing by. And because you couldn't see past the low cloud cover there, it really felt like they were really there.
Right.
It's just something that was incredible. And I recapture a piece of that every time we go back. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever recapture that first experience, but man, it's still there and it's still wonderful. And they have done things to even make it better. And I'm looking forward to them doing even more things in the future to make that even more special. But it's special every time we go.
Yeah, I love your story. And I know how I could see it when it was happening, how it was impacting you. It was fun to watch. But in hearing from you, it's definitely something super special, as you said, special to you.
I really feel, you know, and we talked about this on the episode. It was actually our first anniversary episode. Was the, like, we came back from Disneyland after visiting Batuu, and we like, okay, here's our anniversary episode. And we talked about that. And I really think if they had just like let us in and we just went in, I mean, it would have been cool. It still would have been fantastic. Right. But that gradual buildup, there was something about that that made it, you know, because we've been building up for that for years. I mean, well, I've been building up for that since I was 8 years old. But I mean, even since they announced it, we've been building up to, you know, seeing, you know, still shots of it and seeing it being built and seeing announcements of what's going to happen there. And yeah, and the model. And then, you know, actually being in there and gradually getting a little piece more of it and a piece more of it, it just made it even cooler.
That's true. It kind of like, that's storytelling, right? Kind of right. Built the tension, mm-hmm. Built the suspense to it finally happening and something wonderful occurred. And again, being, you know, at home, you don't think about how can I feel today like a kid or being in a different world. We get so used to our lives, and having that opportunity to experience something different that's not a part of our lives. And like I said, you're immersed in it. You're part of that story. So, you know, whether you dress up or bound or whatever, you're still part of it. Like, you go to buy something, whether it's food or an item, and, you know, the person selling that to you is playing a role in addition to that function. And, you know, that's why it's always great to be able to ask some questions like, how long have you lived here, or where are you from? And the responses you get, they invite you to be a part of that story.
As Walt, that's why, I mean, and I think, who was it that was on with us recently that said Walt would really like Galaxy's Edge? I think it was just last week. It was Keenan.
I was going to say. Keenan
mentioned that just last week, yes. That Walt would have liked Star Wars Galaxy's Edge because he wanted to bring people into these movies.
Right,
you know, and I feel like they really do bring you into this world, into this movie, into this franchise that you love so
dearly.
That's
true. Yeah. And he was very much interested in the pioneering of space travel and space exploration. I mean, whether you look, and you can still see them on Disney Plus, some of the shows that he had with where he brought people in, real scientists, to discuss it. And then how he weaved that into some of the stories in Tomorrowland, where he had Mission to the Moon and Mission to Mars and different elements regarding space there. And yeah, you can see that, again, he's fostering that ability to allow the child in all of us to enjoy it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like you were talking about rides and the Millennium Falcon. If you take away the shell of the Millennium Falcon, you might not be as impressed with that ride. That's why, like other places, whether you're talking about, and I know that there's competition that provides great experiences too. I'm not trying to say that, but just from the aspect of going, like I said, to a county fair or something like that, you might have that same ride, but it's not going to have that same, you know, you might have a fun experience with it, but it's not going to release that childness in that feeling like, hey, this is, I'm in a special world. And, you know,
something you always wanted to do as your kid, you always wanted to get the chance to fly the Millennium Falcon, fly in the Millennium Falcon. And you get that opportunity anytime you visit either Disneyland Park or Disney's Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World.
Right. I mean, and you know, I mean, if you think about it, kids, when they're playing with toys, they're imagining things, they're imagining things happening. And again, as adults, we need that outlet sometimes, and this really hits it
so much. I mean, we all go through this. We have to be adults, you know. I mean, and it's important to be adults, you know. You need to do important things to take care of your family, take care of your home, to take care of everybody, your friends, everything. And you know, you have to sacrifice, work hard, you know, sometimes be the bad guy in the household, you know, it happens. But man, you get to go to Disney and you get to break free of that and, you know, just have this amazing time with your kids, not only kind of just be a part of it with them, but see it through their eyes. And then, and sometimes that's a way to bring it back out, the child in you, is just to see these things, especially things that maybe you experienced when you're young, and see how they love them. Maybe the same way, maybe a different way than you did, but experiencing that through them is
that's
another
a good point.
Way. Yeah.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, and you know, you're doing it with other, if you want to call them fans or whatever, so you feel a part of community too, you know? And so I think that's also something that when you think of kids love to meet other kids and make new friends. And as adults, we don't get those opportunities as often to make new friends.
Right. And there's something for everybody. It doesn't matter what brings out the child in you. Is it princesses? Is it stormtroopers and Jedi? Is it superheroes? Is it, you know, fun Disney characters from the classics? You know, what is it? It doesn't matter. There's something that is going to get you from every aspect.
Right.
You know, is it Indiana Jones? There's that too. You know, is it
Pandora?
Avatar? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it animals just in general, you know, the Animal Kingdom park? Do you love animals? Well, you're going to have a chance to experience some wonderful animals there up close. And it's really nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can experience these, you know, so many, like you're saying, different things hit people differently, you know? So whether you're on a ride and experiencing that way, or you're in a queue and you're playing with the Play Disney app, you know, there's just so much that you can select and choose to make that part of your storytelling.
Or other little games that you can play in the game. We see them all the time. You've seen the people around you playing those little games, you know, and they're going to be in a queue for a while. How do you pass the time? Lots of little games. Hey, you can go to the Haunted Mansion at Magic Kingdom and you can play your own little murder mystery right there in the queue.
True.
It's already built into it. We were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. So there's all sorts of fun things that you can do to kind of bring out more child, even just waiting in line.
Exactly. Now, the third and last kind of category of how Disney is really great at tapping in on that inner child is when you think about the freedom from responsibilities, you know. And I'll give one example. Another social media response we got was from DCL Duo, which can be found at DCL Duo. They gave a fantastic example when they said they feel it when they sit in the adult pool area on the Disney Wonder on a warm Caribbean day at sea.
They gave it a little wink, wink to that because, you know, I mean, it was like, you know, how do you bring out the inner child? They gave you a very adult experience,
But you can have an adult experience as an adult situation, but feel a child, feel that child, that freedom from responsibility exactly. is what it is. And, you know, let's face it, Disney vacations provide a break from stresses and responsibility of life. They can cause some stresses for sure, but for the most part, but think about it. As a kid, you couldn't wait for spring break or summer vacation each year, right? I mean, that was something the days before were just so long and tedious and you just couldn't wait for that time. So it's really not surprising that when you go to a Disney park, on a Disney cruise, that it brings you back to the childhood feeling that you didn't have those same burdens of life. So you can just focus on having fun.
Or doing nothing. Sometimes, right. you know, as a child, you're like, what are you going to do this summer? I'm doing nothing. I've been doing so much. I'm going to do nothing. And just being able to sit by a pool
right.
or sit on a deck and just, you know, soak in the sun or read a book or just whatever you feel like doing. Doing nothing sometimes will bring out the child in you as well.
Right, exactly. And having that freedom from your day-to-day in this environment allows that to happen, you know, and it allows you to be even silly or just enjoy the present moment without worries. And that's what your child's side is all about. That's why you see people of all ages, teenagers, adults, get giddy when they're around characters, when they can get a picture with or hug a character or whatever. I mean, it's just, it's so funny that you're given that ability, that you're away from your daily life. Your responsibilities are for momentarily gone and you can just have that fun. I mean, we saw Winnie the Pooh recently.
Right. Well, one of my favorite, I was just thinking about this. My favorite thing that happened, it was that same when we just visited Winnie the Pooh, which is always one of our favorites. Pooh is the greatest, yes. the sweetest. He's awesome. But my favorite thing is we were just sitting there in World Celebration, just kind of, you know, absorbing the atmosphere, enjoying the day. And then up came behind you Pluto and said hello to you. You know, we saw him, you know, but we're like, oh, there he's going to his character spot to take photos or whatever. He just came up and just said hello to you. Yeah, started interacting with you.
Tapped me on the shoulder. Yeah,
and you got all wonderful hugs and everything. I mean, that's something you don't get anywhere else besides Disney. I mean, that is a truly special moment. They don't happen all the time, but they do happen all the time at the same moment.
Right.
You know, that things like that just occur and they're spontaneous and amazing and fantastic. And yes, you can't help but, you know, feel like an 8-year-old child again. When something like that happens, you're going to jump up and say, oh, Pluto, yeah, right? It's so great to see you, and get a big hug. And even me, I was just taking pictures of you too. And I felt it through you. And it was just those amazing moments like that bring it out of you.
Right. And it's so funny how it's instantaneous. It's not, like you said, it was spontaneous. And so it wasn't like we were waiting or anticipating for something to happen, but it instantly happened. And instantly I felt like a kid that I should be talking to Pluto as a child, you know, and it's so magical and so amazing, whether you're feeling it for an entire vacation or just like you said, these moments that give you that, again, freedom from, you know, your day to day and just have fun. Just be a kid.
They just whisk you into this other, it's not a different world, but it is a little bit of a different world in that you're just feeling you're in this world of fantasy, of crazy things happening that are just, you know, that could be make-believe, but no, they're real and it's fun and it's right. And it impacts you.
And you, like I said, you can have that feeling and be a part of that, whether you're talking the parks or the resorts or the cruises, like you said, even the films. I mean, I remember recently we were staying at Wilderness Lodge and it was our checkout day and we happened to be walking through the lobby and there was Goofy. And he was holding the hand of a toddler who was barely able to walk on his own. But the toddler was holding a Goofy doll, you know, and it was just spectacular to watch Goofy walking this child who's, you could tell, had a love of Goofy. He had the doll in his hands as well. And it's, you know, from an adult perspective, I didn't know that family, but I just felt This is so cool. This is so special. Yeah,
that's amazing. I mean, you know, we just recently on our Disney cruise, and I told you we were, I think, actually it's funny because we were waiting in line to get a picture with Pluto. And looking over, and there was Donald. He was up at the guest services desk. He was on the floor just dancing with people. You know, I mean, it's just, that's just a cool experience. Yeah. And you can't tell me that doesn't bring out something in you when you're just there and dance, and Donald's just there spontaneously dancing, right, and having fun with you. You know,
exactly.
Again, people who don't get Disney may never get it. But you right, listen to this podcast. Chances are you're a Disney fan. You get it.
Yeah.
You understand.
Yeah.
It. You know what we're talking about.
Exactly. And so, you know, the main point here is, I guess, that we can just really appreciate the way that Disney provides us to become a child and to have that fun, to play, to really, to imagine, to feel that excitement. And just so glad that we get to do that.
For sure. It's really special. And again, it's one of many things. Disney does so many things very specially. This may be the best thing that they do.
Exactly.
Is let us experience, bring us back to those childhood memories and bring the child, that child aspect out of us, and enable us to do that. Right. You know, I mean, because, you know, there's a lot of places in the world where you can't.
Yeah. But
when you go into Disney Park, you can be Goofy. You can be Donald. You can be Mickey. You can be whoever you want to be,
yes,
in the park. You could be a superhero. You can be a Jedi.
A villain.
You could be a villain. Yes, you could. if that's where your preference lies, you could definitely be a villain. Either way, it's all good and it's all fun and it's all wonderful. You ran a little poll in that Twitter.
Yeah.
You just gave four possibilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's so many possibilities of what makes you feel childlike.
Right. Yeah. I actually did. I did a couple polls on, like, I think I did two polls on a couple different social media avenues and, you know, asked, like, what was the thing that really brought the child in you. And I, like you said, I did give some examples there. It was kind of a even split, about 30% each way, of the results of how people felt they connected with their inner child. And tied for just over 30% each was hugging a character or savoring a Mickey bar. But wearing Disney ears and bounding was a pretty close third with that, you know. And so, again, when you're thinking of these things, if you talk about somebody wearing Disney ears or dressing up to look like a character or hugging a character or having a special shaped ice cream bar, it's Disney, you know, and it's not what you'd think an adult would do normally, but in these environments, they let you do that and encourage you to do that.
Completely. Yeah. Completely. They do it so well, and we appreciate them for it. We'd love to hear what brings out the inner child in you when you're at Disney. We, you know, share them with us. You know, it could be anything little. It could be something huge. It could be a memory. It could be something current. We'd love to hear it, and we will share it on an upcoming show. Hit us up, the Gmail account, social media, whatever. We know that this is an important thing that Disney does for all of us. And sometimes you may know it. You may realize it. Sometimes you may not even realize it. But it is there, and it is important.
Right. And you may have, and I'm sure you all each have a special story that we'd love to share.
And we'd love to share it on an upcoming show. So please hit us up. And that is our look at channeling your inner child at Disney. So once again, you heard it. Concern from Michelle over a topic, and then she nailed it once again.
No.
Always happens. I can rely on it. As soon as she starts to be, I don't know about this one, I know it's going to be a fantastic topic, and I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed reliving some of my childhood memories during that. I hope some of the things we brought up, some of the topics we brought up, helped you think about some of the things that Disney does to make you, you know, bring out that child in you as well.
Yeah, I hope some of this resonated with you.
For sure. Michelle's topics, always the best topics. Now, before we get to our plentiful Disney stories of the week, you know, we need to talk about our great friend Nate with Main Street and More Travel. Because let's face it, we all have trips we're thinking about taking in the very near future. Well, if you do, whether it be to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, or anywhere in the world beyond, let me tell you, Nate is the certified Disney vacation planner that you are going to want to get in contact with.
Oh my gosh, for sure. You know, as we, you know, mention all the time, he really has firsthand knowledge of things, so he can really help you plan, customize a trip that is going to be the best for you, answer your questions. It's really concierge level planning that doesn't cost you anything.
High end. It is high end stuff that he will help you out with, answer all your questions. He is there for you to make sure your trip, wherever it may be the best it possibly can be. And as Michelle mentioned, no extra cost to you. That's because either Disney or whatever other travel branch that he works through pays him for you. What you end up paying is exactly what you pay if you did all that work yourself. Only you can save that time and just relax and enjoy and let him set it all up for you.
Right. And you know what? He may even be able to save you some money from you doing it alone, because he is on top of all the deals and steals that are out there.
Yeah. And there's never a guarantee, but let me tell you, if there's a discount out there, Nate will find it for you. So what you got to do is go to DizTripsAndMore.com, fill out the form there, and just contact him, talk to him, tell him what you want to do, and let him get to work for you.
Right. So as Tom mentioned, once you fill out that form, Nate will be back in touch with you to start that planning, but be sure to tell him that Tom and Michelle sent you.
Yeah. Again, that's Nate with Main Street and More Travel. And Nate did some wonderful things for us coming up for our upcoming trips, including our big 20th anniversary, wedding anniversary trip that we have planned. And I know he's working with another couple Hyperion adventurers on some possible trips as well. So definitely look into him if you have something that you're thinking about doing in the future.
Yeah, yeah. You'll definitely be happy you did.
For sure. He is great. Nate is great.
True.
Let's get to the Disney stories of the week, because I got a bunch for you this week. I'm going to start with details we released about the Ultimate Disney Fan event that's happening later this year. And these are things you're going to want to hear if you have any thoughts that you may want to go to this. Mm-hmm. And there's some interesting stuff going on with this. This came from D23.com. They said, Disney fans around the world will once again gather in Anaheim, California from August 9th through August 11th, 2024 for D23, the Ultimate Disney Fan Event presented by Visa, a one-of-a-kind experience showcasing the unparalleled storytelling and innovation from across the Walt Disney Company. We've been to a couple of these. Mm-hmm. They're not calling it the D23 Expo anymore. At least they're not saying it there in the title. But that's what we know it as. Right. It's the D23 Expo. And we have had a fantastic time every time we've gone.
Yeah, it's always just so incredible, the amount of big names that come out and types of announcements that are shared. It's just incredible.
Yeah. And we talked about it just a little bit ago, how, you know, there's something for everybody in Disney.
Right.
There's something for everybody at the expo. That's for sure. And this year it's going to be a little bit different, for good or for maybe bad. I'm not sure yet, but I can't wait to see how it plays out. Because this year D23 has revamped to be more expansive, more immersive than ever before, offering fans access to more of what they love from across the worlds of Disney at an amazing value. We'll see. With returning fan favorites and new surprises, this extraordinary event will feature 3 days of marquee showcases and presentations, an expanded show floor with the latest from Disney brands and partners, increased shopping opportunities, and a week-long celebration of Disney fandom leading up to the event. Lots of stuff going on. I mean, yes. It's in the past, it's been 3 days, and that's good.
Right.
This week, it's an entire week of stuff going on out there, and that's exciting. On Tuesday, they shared a sneak peek at programming, logistics, ticketing, and D23 member benefits in anticipation for D23, the Ultimate Disney Fan Event. This year, they'll be introducing a new venue for some of the biggest panels. We talked about, they announced this at Destination D23 this last fall, and we talked a little bit about this. So they'll be showcasing the best of Disney storytelling and innovation for the first time ever at the Honda Center, which is Basically, that's where the Ducks play.
Right.
So it's a big arena. It will be the home for three nights of marquee showcases, the Disney Entertainment. So basically everything Disney films and television related. So that'll be anything Disney Plus. Of course, Disney Live Action, right. Disney Animation, Pixar, Lucasfilm, Marvel, all that stuff is going to be showcased during that event. So if you're a fan of the films, the television shows, that may be the panel for you.
Yeah, yeah. And in the past, you'd be in, you know, maybe a giant theater kind of arena, but this is a real arena.
Right. I'll get to it. And in some ways, that may be a very good thing for many of you, especially those of you who don't really like to wait in line
right.
so much. This it could be important. Also, they'll be doing Disney experiences. Of course, that is the Disney parks around the world, every one of them. That is the Disney Cruise Line, Disney Resorts, DVC. That is shopping, merchandising, all that stuff. They'll be discussing that during the Disney experiences panel. That'll be on Saturday. And then there's the Disney Legends panel, which will be on Sunday, which of course showcases some of the biggest names, some of the people that have had the most impact on Disney throughout their careers.
Yeah. And this year's list is impressive. I was very pleased to see many of the names that were on that list.
Completely. So here's how they happen. Okay, so like I said, the Disney Entertainment Showcase will be Friday night, August 9th at 7 p.m. at the Honda Center. The Experiences Showcase will be Saturday night, August 10th, 7 p.m. Honda Center. And the Disney Legends Ceremony will be August 11th at the Sunday at 5 p.m. at the Honda Center. By the way, the Disney Legends Ceremony, Ryan Seacrest will host. Yeah. So if you're a Ryan Seacrest fan, we are. He'll host the special ceremony celebrating the 2024 class of legends. 14 individuals who have made a significant impact on the Disney legacy. They are filmmakers, Imagineers, artists, writers, and other magic makers that will be honored in a spectacular award show featuring special performances and special guests. This year, the Walt Disney Archives is honoring Colleen Atwood, Angela Bassett, Martha Blanding, James L. Brooks, James Cameron, Jamie Lee Curtis, Miley Cyrus, Steve Ditko, Harrison Ford, Mark Henn, Frank Oz, Kelly Ripa, Joe Rohde, and John Williams.
Oh, yeah.
What a group.
That's why I said the group is so, this year is so great for the legends that they've selected and are inducted.
And we were talking about a few of them. It's like, why haven't they been Disney right. legends already?
Right.
But we're so glad that they are getting this honor at right. this point. And it doesn't matter when it happens. We're just glad that it's happening.
Right.
And there's
sure.
a few of them that are like, whoa, I can't believe he wasn't already a Disney right. legend. He right. or she or wasn't she. Already yeah. a Disney legend. So happy for all of them. And that's going to be a special night that we've been to the Disney Legends panels. They always have wonderful speeches, presenters. It is always something very, very special to see these people get embraced into this very elite club.
Right, right. And it's interesting and cool. I think it's cool that they're kind of completing or wrapping up the event, the expo, previously known as the expo, with the legends. They used to start it yeah. that way. So it's kind of nice that they're, you know, having that as the way to really, you know, finish the entire celebration by celebrating these great legends.
Well, it used to be that those would be the big panels. Like, so they, you know, they'd have the legends panel on Fridays, usually mm-hmm. somewhere morning, midday. And maybe they'll have another big panel later in the day. And then, you know, and the same thing with Saturday, there'd be the entertainment showcase and then the parks, you know, right. and then they'd have something in the morning on Sunday and then some sort of usually like we've seen Alan Menken perform on right. Sunday afternoons, or we've seen the Disney on Broadway showcase there. Right. All those were special, but this is going to be different because these are all going to be at night. And that means, you know, those days on the, that are, during the expo, when you spend your time during the day, those aren't the only panels. There will be a lot of other panels that right, they have. They haven't announced them yet, but there are going to be plenty of other panels. That'll free you up to be able to go to those and still be able to experience these amazing, amazing panels that everybody wants to get into.
Right, because, you know, in the past, like you alluded to at the beginning of this piece, is that you'd have to get yourself in line, and we've sat in line. We've sat on floors.
Concrete floors.
Concrete floors for hours and hours to get into, you know, some of these big panels.
And sometimes there was no guarantee you were going to get in.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't.
Right. And you know, so you're sitting and waiting for something and missing out on some other fun. So I think it really does help a lot to be able to know that you're going to be going to this arena. And I know with the ticket prices, it's based on where you're going to get a seat, which area you'll be able to sit in. And obviously, you know, the ones closer to the action will be the more expensive seats, et cetera. But at least during the day, during the main part of the day, you'll be freed up to do so many more fun things that they have at the convention center.
Yeah, and you will get, as long as you get these ticket packages, you will have a seat.
Right.
I'm sure there'll be a line to get through security and a line to get in and everything else, but you're not going to have to worry about, am I going to get into to see the entertainment panel or what I think is going to be a huge panel this year, because I really believe the experiences panel is going to be massive this year. Right. And just judging from the fact that they're already releasing stories now that they sometimes would save for right. D23 Expo.
That's a good point.
Makes me think that they have some really big news that they're going to be sharing at the D23 Expo. It's not the D23 Expo anymore, I guess. I'm going to still call it that. The D23 Expo this year. So I think that's going to be the panel that everybody's going to want to be in. And then another thing is, like, a lot of these are live streamed. Yes, you can sit at home and you can watch them on this, but you don't see everything. They're especially in the entertainment one. They have special video clips that no one else is going to get to see right. except for the people that go there. So you may never get to experience it. If you do get to experience it, it may be months down the line. So there are some special sneak peeks, some special moments. I still remember one of my favorite things from D23 Expo in 2019 was being there for the Disney Plus panel. And it was Lucasfilm portion of it. And near the end of it, it had been rumored, but I had completely forgotten about it because so much great news came about Disney Plus. Right. Disney Plus hasn't even debuted yet. They were getting ready for it to come out. So we were hearing all this great stuff about Disney Plus. I was all excited about it. And then they were wrapping up the Lucasfilm. I'm like, oh, that's great. You know, we're Mandalorian, all this stuff. It's fantastic. That's great. And then out came Ewan McGregor. Yeah. I forgot that was rumored. And he did his hello there. And yes, that was when they announced that the Kenobi series was going to happen. And I just fell apart. I mean, I've fallen apart many times for many different things. Right. That one, maybe the one, talk about talking.
I was going to say, that really got your child side. Yeah.
Having Ewan McGregor, who I know Alec Guinness is Obi-Wan, but Ewan McGregor is Obi-Wan Kenobi as well to me. And having him come out and say that and knowing that there was a Kenobi series coming, you know, think about whatever you liked it, whether you didn't like it, whatever. Just the thought that that was going to happen was just a special, special moment.
For sure.
And that happened at D23.
Right. Right. You know,
and those are the moments that kind of happened there. So so this is what I mentioned. These are the 3-day thing, but there are also many other experiences that are going to be happening that week. So if you want to expand it into a full week vacation wrapped around Disney and D23, you can do that because there's all sorts of stuff going on. This is the first time ever. They'll have the first time ever D23 day at Angel Stadium, which is right there mm-hmm. as well. Easy transportation to it. That'll take place on Sunday, August 4th. So the Sunday before the panels actually start taking place. And the Angels will be taking on the Mets. The stadium will come to life, they say, with D23 fun, including special trivia, photo spots, and more. The first 23,000 fans in the gate will also receive a commemorative and one-of-a-kind D23 Mickey Mouse bobblehead. Specialty price tickets are now on sale for D23 members. So if you're thinking about going to that, and you don't have to have tickets to the D23 Expo to go to
right,
that.
Right, right, yeah.
You can do that. On Tuesday, August 6th, fans can meet up at a D23 night at the Anaheim Packing District in the heart of downtown Disney to enjoy local food, drinks, trivia, special D23 touches. No ticket required. This is downtown Disney. All you have to do is pay for parking or Uber in or whatever, you know. Fans can mix and mingle and get ready for the week ahead. On Wednesday, August 7th, D23, in collaboration with Street Food Cinema, will present an outdoor screening of The Incredibles to celebrate its 20th anniversary. The event will take place at Pearson Park Amphitheater in downtown Anaheim. So that's right there as well. Then on Thursday, August 8th, guests can kick off the weekend's festivities at the first ever D23 Day at Disneyland Resort. Both Disneyland Park and Disney California Adventure Park will welcome ticketed D23 fans from Rope Drop to Late Night, featuring unique offerings for fans, including a custom cavalcade, an energetic dance party, special photo opportunities, and more. It is going to be a week of D23 festivities.
Yeah, like you said, you can definitely plan to spend the entire week there and really have some special moments.
Yeah. We're not going this year. And it hurts my heart. We can't work it into our schedules because we have a cruise going right, like, I think it's like right after that time. And we've already did a West Coast trip this year, and we debated it for the longest time, and we'll be debating it up until tickets go on sale. But I'm telling you, we're probably not going this year, and we'll definitely be on FOMO, but we want you to go. Hey, if you go, we'd love a correspondent.
Right.
Please, if you're going, contact us. We'd love a good correspondent that is going out there and can report back all the stuff that are happening during these days. Positivity. Remember,
that's
positivity.
Right.
Yes. So to allow fans to have as much flexibility and choice as possible when it comes to accessing the many opportunities at multiple venues throughout the weekend, D23 is offering several ticketing options that allow fans to build the itinerary that works best for them at a great value. So you can go to all these events, pay a little less, maybe not have quite as good a seat at the Honda Center, but still enjoy everything. Or you can pay a lot more and have the best seats in the house. It's up to you and what is right for your budget.
Yeah, and I really can appreciate that new this year is that you will be able to modify or cancel your tickets. Mm.
So know that going in, that even if your plans to change, you do have an out.
Yeah.
You do have an out. So here's what the tickets that will be available. There's the D23 Ultimate Fan 3-day ticket, which is, if you're going to all 3 days, this is probably the one you're going to want. Right. The ticket includes a 3-day assigned seat for evening shows at the Honda Center. We talked about all the evening shows. And 3-day access to all experiences and the Anaheim Convention Center. Tickets for that start at $297 for gold members. Right. You need to be a D23 member to get tickets. Gold member gets you a little bit of a discount and gets you earlier access.
Right, because you can join D23 as a member for free.
For free, yes. The prices go from there all the way up, depending on where you want to sit, to $747 per ticket.
Right.
You know that going in. If you only are planning on going just the Saturday or just the Friday, you want the one-day ticket. The D23 Ultimate Fan Pass one-day ticket includes a reserved seat for that day's evening show at the Honda Center and same-day access to all experiences at the Anaheim Convention Center starting at $99 per ticket, going on up to the best seats at $249. So if all you want to do is see the experiences panel, let's just say.
Right.
Maybe that's the one. Maybe I can't go on Friday. Sunday doesn't really call out to me, but I really want to be there for the park one. Right. That might be the ticket for you.
True. That makes sense.
Now, if you really want to go all out, the D23 Preferred Ultimate Fan Pass 3-day ticket, which is exclusive to D23 Gold members only, includes a 3-day floor seat for evening shows at the Honda Center. It's the same seat again for each night, and 3-day access to all experiences at the Anaheim Convention Center. Those tickets start at $999 per ticket. Those are for kind of the back of the floor. If you want more of the front of the floor, well, it can go up to $2,599 per ticket. So if that's something you want, it's there for you.
Yes.
There it is. Those are the ones that will get you a reserved seat at the Honda Center. Now, there are other passes available, but you will not be able to get access to those shows at the Honda Center with these tickets. This is for the Anaheim Convention Center only. The one-day pass for gold members is $79 per ticket. For general members, it's $89 per ticket. The 3-day pass for gold members, $209 per ticket. General members, $259. So if you don't care about going to the Honda Center and seeing the big panels, you just want to be a part of the event, then maybe those might be a little bit more budget friendly for you.
Right. And they do a ton of things at the convention center. You know, there are panels all the time. There's shopping experience. Yes. And there's shopping experiences available. So it's all dependent on how much you want to do.
Yeah. We've seen some excellent panels.
Right.
That weren't the big panels.
Right.
That we are very happy to have gone to and enjoyed. We saw, what was it? Was it the 15th anniversary of Hercules? And they had the cast there. It was pretty special. We've seen Richard Sherman playing yes. tunes and going through the songbook with Richard Sherman. That wasn't one of the big panels.
Right.
We've seen some special yes. stuff that wasn't.
Seen voice actors.
Yes.
Yes.
We've seen some very special stuff. So just because you, even if you don't go to the larger panels,
right.
there's still great stuff. And there's great stuff going throughout the day, even if you are planning on going to the panels. By the way, they are including free transportation from the Anaheim Convention Center to the Honda Center and back. Included in if you have right. those tickets. So know that right. going in, you don't have to consider. I mean, if you want to drive, fine.
Yeah.
But you don't have to right. if you want to take their transportation there. So here's when you can purchase your tickets. And it's coming up this week.
Very
so
soon.
You're going to want to know. D23 Gold members will have first access to a limited number of 1-day and 3-day tickets for a limited time while supplies last, beginning on March 26, 2024, beginning at 12 p.m. Pacific time. So noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. If you're thinking about going for the better seats, those expensive ones, I know as pricey as they are, they will go quickly.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now. Yeah, you'll want to jump on those, and yeah, that'll probably give you the best seating options. D23 Gold and general members who are also Visa card holders and who pay with their Visa will have pre-sale access to a limited number of 1-day and 3-day tickets for a limited time while supplies last, beginning on March 27th, 2024. Again, 12 noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Then finally, tickets for all D23 Gold and general members will go on sale beginning on March 28th, 2024 at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Again, while supplies last. I expect Saturday is going to go quickly.
Yes.
Because that's the Parks panel. Everybody right. loves the Parks panel. I know the entertainment one too. People love that one. But I think that this is going to be a big year for the Parks panel. I think people, the experiences panel. I call it the Parks panel. It's the experiences panel. That's the one that you're going to want to jump on if you're thinking about going at all. You want to get on that as soon as you possibly
for sure.
can.
Right. Agreed.
So, there we go. So that was a long first story, but it was an important first story, I feel. Let's move on to another surprise that came out this week. Disney Cruise Line surprised us with information about yet another new ship getting ready to set sail, maybe sooner than we ever expected. We knew the ship was coming.
Right.
I wasn't expecting any news on it until the D23 Expo,
right?
The Ultimate Fan Event. So it was interesting that we got that this week.
Yeah.
So this again from the Disney Parks blog. They said, from zero to hero, just like that, Disney Cruise Line is embarking on an epic new journey steeped in the lore of our favorite Disney heroes and villains.
It's so exciting.
And they gave us the name of the ship. It is the Disney Destiny.
Yeah.
So we have coming up here, you know, we just had the Wish. The Treasure is coming out later this year. The Adventure is going to Asia later next year. And then it will be the Disney Destiny. It is the sister to the Disney Wish and the Disney Treasure, and will have a first-of-its-kind design theme, heroes and villains.
Mm-hmm.
Drawing on the legacies of beloved Disney stories, characters, and theme park attractions, the Disney Cruise Line and Walt Disney Imagineering teams were inspired by the dynamic duality of every great Disney story when developing this new ship, where opposing forces of light and dark drive characters to rise to their purpose. Onboard guests will experience heroes and villains alike, including those from beloved Walt Disney animation stories like The Lion King, Hercules, and 101 Dalmatians, within spaces, experiences, and entertainment throughout the voyage. They gave out this cool video that they did in like comic book fashion featuring Captain Minnie
right.
and some of these heroes and villains. It was a wonderful way to kind of announce it.
Yeah. Like you said, totally unexpected at this point in time, and just definitely a fun theme that, you know, they can do a lot of great things with.
Mm-hmm. So they say, went on to say, Minnie Mouse embodies the spirit of the Disney Destiny in this brand new filigree artwork for the bow of the ship. So if you haven't seen it yet, you should go to the Disney Parks blog and check it out, because it is Minnie Mouse in her superhero outfit doing a superhero pose, cape and all.
Darling.
It's everything.
Right.
It is spectacular. It's going to be such a cool portion of the bow.
Right. Yeah. I love the take that they put on.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
The Disney Destiny also reached a new construction milestone today with the keel laying ceremony at the Meyer Werft shipping in Papenburg, Germany, which is a maritime tradition designed to bestow good luck on the ship. The ship is scheduled for delivery in 2025.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Next year.
Yeah.
So we're getting the treasure at the end of this year. The Adventure is coming out sometime in 2025 as well. And now so is the Destiny. So the Wish came out in 2023. That's four new ships in 2 years, just over two
Crazy,
years.
Huh?
They doubled their fleet.
Right.
In just over 2 years.
It's nuts. Nuts. It's so cool.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, I know the Adventure is something that was partially built for another cruise line, and Disney is revamping it and Disneyfying it. Mm-hmm. But still, it's amazing, and especially, you know, coming from a company that recently people have been criticizing because maybe they're not doing enough. Guess what? They just doubled their fleet. And we're not talking one to two ships. We're talking from four to eight ships within, you know, just over a couple years.
Yeah. I mean, they're really trying to stick with that promise of, you know, investing billions of dollars to improve and increase the experiences people can have. And yes, this is great.
Yeah. And then they're also adding, you know, we have the brand new port that is debuting later this year at Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point. There's so much great stuff going on with Disney Cruise Line that is so exciting. And I can't wait. I love the theming of this ship. I love heroes and villains. Some of the stuff they put out there, and that you can do so much with it.
Oh, yeah. It's so many different storylines.
And it doesn't matter. You know, Michelle talked about it earlier. Like, some people more identify with the villains or love the villains. And now you're going to have that chance to experience them even more in you know, there on this cruise line. It's going to be phenomenal.
It will
so
be.
Excited.
It'll be so fun. Yeah.
That is such exciting.
I can't wait
news.
To hear the experiences that they're developing.
That's why that's even more of a reason why. And I'm going back to the D23 Expo. I'm going to keep calling it that. Why the experiences part of it, I think, is going to be crazy, because this is a lot of information. And I'm sure there'll be more information about this ship that's going to come out there. But this is a lot of information that we would first get there. And the fact that they're releasing it months ahead of time makes me think, we got too much stuff. We need to start getting some of this other excitement out there.
Exactly.
Very cool. Very cool. So I can't wait to hear more about this ship and more about its itineraries. Moving on, we received info about when the last of the walls will be coming down at the center of Epcot, Woo-hoo! Along with a fun new show coming to the reimagined space. Yes, Walcott coming to an end. Disney Parks blog sent this. Beginning June 10th, June 10th, you'll be able to stroll through a fully transformed Epcot with the reopening of Communicore Hall.
Yay! So exciting.
It will be home to the iconic Epcot festivals and other celebrations, and it will also be the perfect cool indoor space year-round for you and your family to recharge. And speaking of cool, Communicore Hall will be surrounded by serene views and exciting experiences. The coolest mouse around will be ready to give you a hug once new character greeting locations, Mickey and Friends, debuts. With its beautiful mural of all things Epcot, past and present, a geometric exterior design inspired by Spaceship Earth, and of course, Mickey Mouse and his pals, you're sure to have a smile on your face. It already looks, you know, we've been walking through there recently, and you can see it taking shape. You can start to see some things behind the geometric shapes behind there. It's
behind
looking
the walls,
great.
Yes.
Cannot wait to once that whole area completely opens up.
Right. And the artist renderings that they've shared, it really looks spectacular. And yes, we've waited a long time, and it's
been a
nice,
long time.
Nice that it's almost here.
Right. If you love what they've already revealed in World Showcase Celebration Gardens, they say you'll be delighted by even more luscious greenery and relaxing spaces to enjoy out in Communicore Plaza and Inspiration Gardens. And that's not even mentioning the more food and beverages and more entertainment to come, including everyone will be talking about Bruno from June 10th to September 6th, because a new summer sing-along featuring the beloved songs and story of the Walt Disney Animation Studios Encanto is in development now. The new limited-time show, Celebración Encanto, runs several times throughout the day and will not only invite you and your family to sing along with some of your favorite songs, but you'll also spot Mirabel and Bruno on the newly opened Communicore Plaza stage. How fun.
I know. That's going to be so cool. So exciting.
I mean, we love the music from Encanto. I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda. I mean, come on.
Right.
We love the music. And so what a cool, fun sing-along experience.
That's going to be. I think it's going to be a great way to really help kick this new area off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll be excited to try that again. That all starts debuting on June 10th, runs through the summer until September 6th. But just excited for the walls to come down and that whole area, which we've already said, it's already gorgeous. It's already beautiful. Once that space opens up too, that place is going to be off the hook.
Yeah. And it's going to be such a great introduction to entering Epcot. Yes. Yep.
Completely agree. Moving on to our next story. Drones are coming to Walt Disney World. What?
I know.
Drones. Huh? Yes. This again from the Disney Parks blog. They said at Disney Springs, drones will soon take to the skies above Lake Buena Vista with Disney Dreams That Soar, a summertime experience that will be a late night perk for visitors. You Can Fly takes on a whole new meaning as they showcase Disney stories celebrating the joy of flight with state-of-the-art drones choreographed to create designs in the sky and paired with a soaring musical score and memorable movie quotes. Disney Dreams That Soar will run nightly from May 24th through September 2nd.
Yeah, so excited to be able to see that. I think it's going to be amazing.
You know, we've seen with the success of the stuff they've done at Disneyland Paris specifically, more than anything else, how these drone shows can be so amazing.
Right.
And then we heard that they're, you know, the company that's doing a lot of those drone shows was opening up a branch in Orlando near Disney. When a lot of speculation came out, like, what's coming?
And
this was one of the things that they thought is maybe, you know, Disney Springs, they've tried a drone show there before. Now they're going to try it again. A little bit more ability probably behind it. So I think that this is going to be a success. I still wonder if, like, Animal Kingdom Park might not be a great spot for, like, a drone show. Considering the fact that, you know, you can't really have fireworks there and some things at night, but people would love to see a nighttime show there.
Right.
Maybe a small, a 10, 15-minute drone show
at
Animal Kingdom Park at night wouldn't be a bad idea. But we'll see how this succeeds or fails at Disney Springs here coming up here this summer.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it's good that, you know, people who, if you don't get to go in the parks, or let's say it's the first night or the, you know, end of your trip and you don't want to spend money for a ticket into the park, you can have that experience.
Great. And we're not really Disney Springs people, but this will probably bring us out to at least experience it at least once, if not multiple times, if we really love it.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And I'm wondering if something like Saratoga Springs, how close they are.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that too.
If there's a way, I mean, I don't know how, you know, if they would be piping the music or whatever, but still.
You may get a good view of it from some of those resorts right around there, Key West. Saratoga
Possibly.
Springs, mm-hmm. some of the spots there that are the Disney Springs Disney resorts.
Right.
Yeah. Finally, one last story for you, and that is Anakin finally got the high ground. Again, we go back to the Disney Parks blog. In an epic kickoff to the favored Star Wars fan holiday, May the 4th, Disney Consumer Products and Lucasfilm took over the Empire State Building on Thursday with product reveals, activities, and new spotlighting the villains of the Star Wars galaxy. We were just talking about villains.
Yeah.
Commenced by, Anakin Skywalker himself, Hayden Christensen, atop the Empire State Building.
I know. Some of the images like that they projected were phenomenal. So he pulled the switch.
Yes. So the takeover is continuing on. I mean, this was kind of an announcement for it, but it is continuing on at the Empire State Building. It includes interactive photo moments highlighting new Star Wars products and windows and observatory deck displays. There are select experiences going on there through April 29th. So if you're in that area, you may want to go and check it out. What's going on. Also included in this announcement was a ton of new merchandise available both online and the Disney parks. So there's lots of stuff coming, celebrating the season of the Force at Disneyland and just, you know, this, the fan holiday of May the 4th coming up here. I'm not going to go through all that stuff because we've already gone long enough with this as well, but there was a lot of new merch coming out. Closing out the festivities that evening, the Empire State Building debuted a 5-minute dynamic light show featuring fan favorite scenes from Star Wars films and streaming series, with a special focus on villains including Darth Vader, Emperor Palpatine, Stormtroopers, and more. The spectacle was synced to John Williams' The Imperial March, which was played simultaneously on iHeartMedia's Z100 New York radio station and on the iHeartRadio app. It was just one of those things that totally caught me off guard, but I was just so impressed with. And I'm just so happy that Hayden Christensen, we've talked about this in past episodes, one, that the Star Wars community has embraced Hayden Christensen, and then Hayden Christensen has felt okay enough to come back and get back involved in Star Wars again.
Yes. And to embrace, you know, the character he played and understand, you know, the importance of that character in this whole storyline.
Significantly, significantly important. So May the 4th isn't all they're celebrating this year. Star Wars The Phantom Menace is celebrating its 25th anniversary.
Isn't that incredible?
Yes. I don't want to think about how long that's been, but okay. Yes. I was just looking today. I'm like, we need to get our tickets for this because we definitely need to go see. This is the one Star Wars film since the prequels came out that we didn't get to see together.
Right.
Because this was before we got together. It came out it was the spring before we got together for the first time.
Yeah.
So this is one we need to go see in the theater together. And we're going to do that for sure. Anyway, fans can soon experience a limited time re-release of Star Wars The Phantom Menace in theaters beginning May 3rd to celebrate the film's 25th anniversary. In addition, fans will also be treated to an exclusive look at The Acolyte, the upcoming Disney Plus series set during the High Republic era. Following all the Phantom Menace screenings, the upcoming Disney Plus series set approximately 100 years before The Phantom Menace launches exclusively on Disney Plus on June 4th. So that's cool. But I just want to see the film in the theater again.
Right.
And I want to see it with you.
Yeah,
I think that'll
likewise.
Be a lot of
it's
fun.
It's going to be fun, yes.
Yep. Also, on May 4th, in honor of both the film's anniversary and the Star Wars fan holiday, fans will have the opportunity to see all 9 episodes of the Skywalker saga in theaters for a premium marathon event. Yes, 20-plus hours of Star Wars films in the theater. You can go to all 9 of them. Now, where that's being held is some limited engagements. Maybe they'll open it up to more later, but right now there's only a few places where you'll be able to see them.
Can you imagine, though, going to
20
that
hours 20 of Star hours. Wars? That's going to be one funky theater, I'm going to tell you. You get about 5-6 films in, man, that is going to be a stinky theater, but it's going to be, how fun would that be?
I know. How much popcorn can one person eat in a day, in a 24-hour period.
Yeah, a lot of fun. And it's tempting. It's tempting.
And that special poster, too.
It's tempting. Yes, finally, those attending will receive a limited edition poster. Tickets, if you're planning on going, if you're near one of these locations that is actually doing this marathon, tickets are on sale now for that. And that wasn't the end of the Star Wars news, because finally, they gave an update for Star Wars Celebration 2025, the ultimate Star Wars fan event. Boy, everything's the ultimate fan event this year. That will take place April 18th to the 20th, 2025. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your point of view, from a certain point of view, is happening in Japan this year. So are you going to make the trek to Asia to go check out this? Well, tickets, if you are planning on it, if you're thinking about it, tickets for Star Wars Celebration 2025 will go on sale Thursday, May 2nd at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So,
yeah, I wonder if that's when around the same time the new cruise will open, and maybe you could do a twofer vacation.
That's an interesting point. Maybe so. You never know. But either way, very cool.
Yes.
Wish we were going to Star Wars Celebration. That's, if we can't go to Anaheim for D23 Expo, we're probably not getting to Japan for Star Wars Celebration. But either way, I know everybody who goes is going to have a great time at both those major events.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And that's finally the Disney stories of the week.
All the ones that we're going to talk about.
There's more. I could have gone on for another half an hour at least just on the stuff that was released this week. There was so much information that came out this week. Maybe Michelle will be adding it to the newsletter.
Yes, especially some time-sensitive things will be in the newsletter of some things that are going to only be available. Yeah.
So be sure to subscribe to the newsletter or check out the newsletter when it comes to your email if you already subscribe for some more information. However, we never leave you without giving you some sort of tip that might help you on your next vacation. And when we do this, we always start with Michelle because she's wonderful, fantastic, all things great in the world. You just heard a little bit ago. She has the best topics. You know she has the best lists. One thing's for certain, she definitely has the very best tips. So let's get to it. Here's Michelle's tip of the week.
Well, thank you, honey. So many of you may know over at the Polynesian Village Resort of Tambu Lounge, which is within the main building there, that they start serving around 4 p.m. small plates and appetizer food that you can get there. But what you may not know is they have a secret not on the menu offering most nights, and that is the Ohana bread pudding that served at it's not the same bread pudding that is served in the Kona Cafe. So if you're interested in, you know, whether you've tried that bread pudding and you just love it, or you haven't tried it and you want to experience it, just politely ask over at the Tambu Lounge and you may score something really special.
Nice. That is a good tip. Michelle's tip, definitely the best tip, because I'm hungry. I'm bread pudding right now. Sounds great. Can we get in the car and go over there and get some bread pudding right now? Because that sounds really, really good.
Actually good.
Yeah, that sounds really, really good. Like I said, Michelle's tip, always the best tip. My tip this week, look, I'm telling you right now, I think this experiences panel at D23 Expo, I've talked about it already, it's going to be off the hook. I think that Disney is going to respond in a big way to some of the criticisms they've had recently, to what's happening with Universal, and credit to Universal for, you know, pumping up the pressure on Disney. That we already heard about how all the money they're going to start putting into things. They've talked about blue sky stuff for the last couple expos in Destination D23, some things that we may do, we're thinking about possibly doing or whatever. I think there's going to be a lot of definitive stuff coming out. I think that they have to, and I think they will. And I think that that panel is going to be crazy cool.
Yes.
So I think if I would suggest, especially if you've never done it, but as a Disney fan, going to the D23 Expo for sure. But if there's only one night, one day you can make it, be there for that, because I think you're going to want to experience what's going on there. But if you can make it all, I'm telling you also the entertainment one is cool because all the celebrities come out from that as well. Yeah. That there's also something fun about that too. And you get to see clips that no one else will see. There's stuff we've seen that still no one else has seen,
right?
You know,
because they won't let
outside
you
of bootleg
it.
Stuff. Yeah. They make you put your phones away.
Right.
You can't, so just be prepared for that. So my tip is, if you even are just have a glimmer of consideration of going to the D23 Expo, do it. As Emperor Palpatine would say, do it. Definitely go. Check it out. We think you're going to love it. There is so much, as the Disney podcast of positivity, I'm going to tell you right now, that expo is filled with positivity.
Oh yeah, it's you can feel it in the air. Everybody is celebrating together.
Yep. And like I said, we think you'll love it. We think you'll love it. So that's it for this week's show. Next week, well, we're back with another in our series discussing attractions from other Disney parks and how or where they might fit into some of the US parks. That's this time it's going to be our what if Shanghai Disney attractions came to the U.S. Yeah. What attractions would you like to see that are only in the Shanghai park come to the U.S.? Where would they fit? Are they better at Disneyland? Better at Walt Disney World? Good for both? What park? We'll be discussing that, and we'd love to hear your thoughts as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun topic.
For sure. The what if they're always fun. Another great Michelle topic, of course, because Michelle always has the best topics. As for today's show, we appreciate that you joined us today. In the future, you can find us most everywhere you get podcasts. However, the very best place to find us is on our own website, HyperionAdventuresPodcast.com. Also, we are on social media. We are on Twitter at Hyperion Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. If you are on Facebook, come on over and join us for some good, positive Disney energy fun on our Hyperion Adventurers Facebook group. Also, we're on YouTube. If you want to find us there, we're at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. And if you ever want to contact us for any reason, please hit us up at our Gmail account, HyperionAdventuresPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you haven't checked out our Spreadshirt shop recently, we actually have some really cool things Tom created a new design, and it's amazing. You will love it. And some, you know, the old favorites are still there, but on various products, and some updated new things have come out. So we really want to encourage you to take a look at our Hyperion Spreadshirt shop that you can get by linking through our Linktree account.
Yep, and you never know when there may be a discount posted, there may be free shipping posted. Things change regularly, so you know, even if it's not the right deal for you that week, merchandise changes, deals change, come back and check it out every once in a while. You never know what you might find. That's it. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Hyperion Adventures podcast. We look forward to sharing some time with you again next week. Until that time, I'm Tom.
I'm Michelle.
And we hope that you have a magical week.
Bye.